saying it is time to get up with final bows. This young star took one on Broadway. Will LeBron and the Lakers bow out tonight? Meanwhile, his team back on the field, but still no sign of Aaron. We'll tell you exactly how everything changed in this superstar stare down. And any minute now, one team will make the call that could change everything. We're on Julio Watch as we get up with you, starting right now from the Seaport in New York. I am Greeny. Thank you for getting up with us. Chris Canty is seated to my left, which means I can see absolutely nothing on that side of the studio. But I have it on good authority that Kimberly and Jeff Saturday are ready to go with us this morning as well. And we've got lots of football to get to, but we begin with the performance of the night in the NBA. Mavs, Clippers in LA, game of the night, tied at 2. Luka Doncic, just spectacular. Fourth quarter, his Mavs up 4 on the road. Luka in traffic and gets it to go. He had 42 points plus 14 assists, like this one to KP in the corner. Porzingis, dagger 3. Mavs up 10. It's over, right? Wrong. Here they come. The Clippers, about a minute and a half to go. Down by 7. Marcus Morris, yes, for the 3. He had 16. It's a 4-point game. Later, same score. Kawhi Leonard in the lane plus the foul. He would score 20. It's a 1-point game. Ensuing Mavericks possession. They need the bucket. This is a turnover. Home will go the other way. Paul George coming down. Nicholas Batum is going to wind up with the ball in his hands, and he cannot get it to go. So close are the Clippers, but they have to foul. Mavs would make both. So one last chance, LA. Down by 3. Rondo. Kawhi in the corner. That's a shot we've seen him make famously once before, but not last night. Behind Luka's 42, the Mavs win. The road team is 5-0 in that series. Dallas, a win away from the second round. Meanwhile, last night, Madison Square Garden, Knicks, Hawks, New York trying to stay alive against that man, Trae Young. And we know about the bad blood. Oh, it was heated. They're saying hello, Trae Young, Nerlens Noel. 3 texts of flagrant and 16 fouls in the first half last night. Hawks a 5-point lead at the break. And then to the third, Atlanta looking to put it away. Clint Capella walking the walk after talking the talk. He had 14 points, 15 boards. Couple plays later, that's Bogdanovich with a 3. Atlanta pulling away up a dozen. And then it's Trae Young. Oh, a star is born. He had 36 on the night. Hawks up 12 after 3. And then the fourth continues to belong to the young star, Trae. Through the contact and off the glass. Watch him again here as he tells the crowd at the Garden, I know you had the first word, but I'm getting the last. And then how about putting the finishing touches? Trae Young. He's on Broadway, so why not finish by taking a bow? 36 points, 9 assists. Trae Young of the Hawks win it in 5.
I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over.
All right, and here they are, our favorite odd couple, Zach Lowe and Kendrick Perkins, ready to talk hoops this morning. Big Perk, I'll start with you. What did these 5 games tell you about Trae Young?
That he's a superstar, Greeny. When you talk about the best of the best of four stars, he's right there with you. And look, don't let the cute smile and the good half fool you. This kid is evil, okay? They really should have swept the Knicks. But Trae Young handed them a win because he wanted to go back to the Garden and win in great fashion. Look, it's no flaws in his game offensively. And the way he facilitates for others makes him exceptionally well. When you look at Trae Young, he's one of the bright young superstars that has a bright future in the NBA.
You know, Zach Lowe, is he the next Steph Curry? That's what I'm hearing, all the buzz. Are we looking at the beginning of the next Steph Curry right now? Zach.
No, you're looking at the beginning of the first Trae Young. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He's in another stratosphere from everybody else who has ever lived on planet Earth as a shooter. He has a chance to go down as a top 10, 15 player of all time. Slow down with that for Trae Young. But that said, there has not been a bigger winner of the first round of the playoffs than Trae Young. He was a superstar. He destroyed the Knicks. And for the last 2 or 3 months, he's found the perfect balance between shooting and passing and getting off the ball early to get his teammates involved. It was a master class. And hell yeah, take a bow on Broadway.
Absolutely. So the Hawks will go on. They will take on the Sixers in round 2. The Knicks, meanwhile, will go into a summer that's going to be an interesting one. It was a surprisingly good season for the Knicks. But I ask you, and Zach, I'll start with you as you know, sort of the insider that you are. What's something the Knicks can do to take a significant step this offseason? They're a good team now, but they don't feel particularly close to being a legit contender. Is there something they can do this summer that'll change that?
Well, some of it is R.J. Barrett will just get even better in his third year. I think he was a little bit overwhelmed at times in this series, not as involved as he was going to be. And the big thing is they have a lot of cap space going forward. They have a lot of draft picks, and they have marked themselves now as a place to go again. I think teams, players are going to be excited about the idea of playing in the Garden, playing for Tom Thibodeau, playing for the Knicks. So whether it's trade or free agency, and don't rush it. Don't get irrational. Don't just go after any 30-year-old guy who's pretty good. Just keep sticking to the principles that got you here. But someone is coming to New York in the next 2 or 3 years. But just build it, build it, build it, and they will come.
All right, so that's what happened last night. Then, Big Perk, I'm going to want you to react to this. Anthony Davis and the Lakers taking the floor tonight with their season on the line. Or I should say, the Lakers are. Anthony Davis is questionable. Here's what he said yesterday.
It's tough. You know, especially last night, you know, watching the game and, you know, not being able to help the team on the floor. It's the toughest part. I couldn't contribute. My body just wouldn't allow me to. Like I said, as far as tomorrow, I obviously want to. I'm still waiting to get medically cleared, you know, with the groin. I'm doing everything, you know, treatments around the clock and, you know, see if, you know, everything is green for me to go on the court tomorrow.
All right. And so tomorrow has arrived. Kendrick Perkins, let's look in that crystal ball. Game 6 tonight, Lakers season on the line. AD, a game-time decision. Who's going to win? Big Perk.
It's the Lakers. There's no way LeBron James is losing this game tonight at home. And the role players are going to play better, Greeny. I always come back to that. Role players help superstars and organizations win games, win playoffs, keep in the playoffs. LeBron James is going to be LeBron James. Anthony Davis, if he comes back, he's going to be Anthony Davis. 50% Anthony Davis is better than 100% Andre Drummond. I tell you that much. But you need the others, like Schroeder. Schroeder's not going to lay a goose egg tonight. Caldwell Pope is not going to lay a goose egg tonight. Role players play better at home, and I believe that the Lakers will get this game 6 tonight.
Do you, Zach?
They better play better at home because they lost a half by 30 points on the road the other day with the way they're playing. In my gut, I agree with Perk. I think LeBron summons what he has left in him, what that ankle will allow. The role players play better. Maybe they get AD, maybe they don't. But the Lakers at home with Chris Paul's shoulder getting banged up again in game 5, they find a way to force Phoenix to close it out in Phoenix.
All right, and then one more thing before I let you fellas run for the moment here. Big Perk, I need you. Now, we usually do this with Ryan Clark, but we opened the show today by showing everybody Luka's performance. And I want you to explain this tweet, because I love following you on Twitter, even though half the time I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. So Kendrick Perkins tweeting last night, Luka jumped on over the fence and found out the dog that was barking wasn't nothing but a damn Pomeranian and went and got his ball. He served the Clippers a church dinner tonight that included a family order of 42 leg quarters, 12 pieces of cornbread, and 8 slices of pound cake. Kendrick Perkins, explain that tweet.
Well, Greeny, let me take you and Zach Lowe back down to Beaumont, Texas, in the country where I'm from, okay? When I used to walk up and down my street on Glenwood Street, in Beaumont, they had this one house that had wooden fence, and you never knew what the dog was. So Luka decided to visit Beaumont, Texas, okay? And then he was playing with his ball, we know, dribbling up and down the street. We know he liked to play soccer, so he ended up kicking his ball over the fence. He seen the Beware Dog sign, and when he went over there to peep his head over the fence, he saw that the dog was a Pomeranian. So he went and got his ball. When you talk about church dinners, I'm going to take you back to Our Mother Mercy. That was the church that I went to. And we used to serve church dinners after service to raise money for fundraisers. Well, Luka decided he wanted to come be generous, and he asked the old ladies behind the thing, hey, do y'all have any specials? And they said, hey, baby, what do you want? He said, I want 42 leg quarters, 14 order slices of cornbread, and I want eight slices of pound cake. And Luka got his serve. He served the Clippers last night, Greeny. He served them in every form and fashion.
That explanation was everything we hoped it would be. Guys, stay close by. Much more basketball as we continue with the Odd Couple, Zach Lowe and Big Perk. But we are also on Julio watch this morning. A trade could come literally any minute of the 32-year-old superstar wide receiver as the Falcons open mandatory minicamp next week. First-year head coach Arthur Smith had this to say about matters yesterday.
We have a conversation all the time with all our players. There's good communication going back and forth through multiple avenues. So we'll see what happens next week and where we're at, you know. So I can answer that for you next week.
So basically, that's his way of saying, by next week, he'll have been traded, and I'll talk about it then. I don't want to talk about it now. Chris Canty, Kimberly Martin, and Jeff Saturday. I'm going to start with you today because there are a bunch of teams that are connected with Julio Jones. So let's dive into some of these and figure out what they would be. Jeff Saturday, if the Patriots are the team that trades for Julio Jones, what do they become?
Bill's greatest threat in the AFC East. I mean, when you think about what he would bring to the Patriots, he's going to be their number one, Green. He understands what his role will be, whether it's Cam Newton or Mac Jones. He understands the ability to get off of man press, to be able to make plays after the catch. All of those things will either help Cam Newton or Mac Jones in his development. But he would increase the receiver core from a below average to an above average group at that wide receiver core by the Patriots bringing him in.
That's one that feels like it is a possibility. Kimberly Martin, let's go to another one. I've heard Seattle's name sort of in and out of this thing. If the Seahawks wind up with Julio Jones, Kimberly, then what?
Well, it won't help Russ's O-line, right? That was one of his complaints. But when you look at that receiving core, who are you going to cover? You can cover DK, Tyler, Julio. Who are you going to double? Who are you going to stop? Because you cannot stop all three. And instantly, Seattle's offense becomes infinitely better just by adding that veteran experience with Julio Jones. He's a proven playmaker. And when you look at that division, the NFC West, you saw the Rams reload. You saw all these other teams reload. San Francisco. And then you think about the playoffs. You've got to put up points consistently with the Tampa Bays and the Green Bays, with Aaron Rodgers and the Bills. So this would make sense in a lot of ways.
If they added Julio and he stayed healthy, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that would be one of the best 1-2-3 punches the league has ever seen. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Chris Canty, an intriguing possibility is Tennessee. What are the Titans if they get Julio Jones?
Well, I think clearly the Titans are the favorite in the AFC South. And Greeny, that might be a team that's good enough to make it to the AFC conference title game. I just feel like that this is a situation where adding Julio Jones not only offsets the loss of Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith in free agency, but it makes that Titans offense that much more explosive. I mean, think about it. You're talking about an offense that was fourth in explosive runs last year and second in yards off of play action last year. Adding Julio Jones to that mix with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, it makes it virtually indefensible.
Yeah, Jeff Saturday, you were telling me this morning you think the Titans, if they add Julio Jones, could be the last team in the world Kansas City wants to deal with. Why?
Yeah, it's the matchup problem, right? Is you got to put 9 in the box. Chris made a great point because of Derrick Henry. 8 and 9 in the box got to go in. Now you have man coverage with Brown and Jones on the outside. To his point about being indefensible, right, is all of a sudden you're getting man matchups with Tannehill, who can scramble, and by time, who is athletic, which means guys' backs are turned towards him. It completely opens up the explosiveness of this offense and makes them a true threat. When you start playing ground and pound against the Chiefs, it frustrates that offense because they want to be out there putting up points. They can't do it by watching an offense control the clock.
An incredibly important move in this NFL offseason is likely to be made as soon as today. And we obviously will have all eyes and ears on it as we continue. In the meantime, we're just getting started here on Get Up. Coming up, what happens if Aaron Rodgers continues to be a no-show? We will tell you why everything has changed in Green Bay. And then, Patrick Mahomes trying to get to 3 straight Super Bowls. Which team in his conference is in the best position to stop him? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more.
Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, more NFL conversation here. The story of the offseason, the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This week, Rodgers again, a no-show for OTAs. Yesterday, head coach Matt LaFleur asked for an update on the situation. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I've got nothing to update, Rob, on that situation. And you guys all know how we feel about it.
Do you expect him to be here? It is mandatory.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see come Tuesday.
To be clear, that question is being asked about next week. Do you expect him to be here next week when it's look at the laugh. I was going to start with Kimberly, but Jeff, if you're laughing like that, I have to come. What did you find funny about that?
Heck no, he ain't going to be there. LaFleur knows that. LaFleur is like, man, you keep asking me the same question. What else am I going to say? We all want him here, right? Like, all five of my receivers didn't show up because of my guy. It was like, you know, the Packers front office and Aaron Rodgers, you know, who are you going to side with? Well, all the guys sided with Aaron. That hurts your feelings a little bit. Now, when it comes money time next Tuesday, I expect all the receivers to be back working with Jordan Love. But at this point, he understands that the line in the sand has been drawn, and all his guys are on one side. So for him, man, it's a no-win to answer these questions. You just feel bad for the guy. He's up there getting asked the same question we get asked every day. He's like, man, I wish he was here. There's nothing I can do about it.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't come this far to show up for mandatory mini camp. He's that, like, Magic Johnson gif where Magic is like, we're talking about next week? I'm not going to be here. I won't be here. But here's the thing. Packers fans, the organization, everybody just has to come to the understanding that this is going to drag out until September. We are going to be I'm going to be in this spot in September, hopefully with a tan, talking about the same situation. But there is a benefit to it. There is a benefit. Jordan Love is getting he's out there. This guy theoretically is the future of the franchise, we assume, based on where he was drafted. So he's getting all the reps right now. He's getting the focus. And, you know, at some point when the changeover happens from Rodgers to Jordan Love, at least this experience, he's getting on the field and getting some work, something he didn't get to do last year. We didn't get to see him in any games. So this will all benefit his development. As much as we keep talking about Aaron Rodgers, this is at least good for Jordan Love.
Okay, I get that. That does make sense. But, Chris, as far as Rodgers is, you just heard her say, this is going to take us into September. So it's all fine now for the coach to sit there and say, I've got nothing. Mm-hmm. But at some point, this has to become a major issue. I'm one who usually thinks distractions are overstated. But if they get into actual training camp and preseason and every single day everyone is asking, well, where's Aaron? Is Aaron coming in? That has to at some point become a major problem, yes?
Yeah, there's no question about it. This is weighing on the organization. Now, a part of Matt LaFleur's job is to answer those difficult questions, but the guys in the locker room are being asked those questions as well. And on top of that, you got the top five receivers not showing up for OTAs, missing opportunities right to be able to work with Jordan Love, who could potentially be your week one starter. But if I was a Packers fan, I would look at those receivers not showing up as a reason to be optimistic, because there's no way that they would risk passing on the opportunity to work with the guy that's going to be responsible for them being able to put up their numbers if they didn't feel like there was at least a chance that this relationship between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers could be repaired.
Well, in your notes, you said the Packers are checking his oil right now with regard to Aaron Rodgers, testing his resolve.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that the Packers are comfortable with letting things play out until we get to training camp. The report that came out earlier this week that said that the Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers only if they truly believed he was committed to never playing for him again. That to me says that they're going to find out whether or not he's truly committed to being able to pay back the $30 million in bonus money that he would owe them if he were to demand a trade if he didn't show up for training camp. So to me, the Packers have leverage. They can take a wait-and-see approach, because right now, Aaron Rodgers not being there is not a big deal. But if you get to training camp and there's still this ambiguity about who your starter is going into the season, then you got a problem.
Jeff, final word.
Yeah, I totally agree with Chris. Listen, all this is going to be comfortable until you get to the very end, right? When you start saying, well, is Jordan Love going to actually have to take reps in a game? What does this really look like? Then panic sets in. There's no panic for either side right now. Both are going to stay in their corners until August, early September. But when it gets push comes to shove, everybody's going to go back to Rodgers, understanding he gives them the best chance to win the Super Bowl and win a championship. It will not be with Jordan Love.
When the coach answers a question by saying, I've got nothing, you know things have taken a turn. You're not interested. Let's take a, we have much more. Hold on a second. I've got Serena on the court at the French Open. Let's go. Serena in round two of the French Open taking on Mihaela Buzărnescu. And Serena would take the first set 6-3, but now facing a set point in the second and hold everything. She drops the second set 7-5 with spectacular sneakers. And then speaking of spectacular, look at the court coverage from Serena. And then look at the placement on that spin forehand. And then finally it's Serena with a match point opportunity. And she's going to put it away right here for the winner. 6-3, 5-7, 6-1. Serena Williams advances at a French Open in which the top two seeds are no longer playing. Ash Barty and, of course, Naomi Osaka no longer playing. So a real opportunity here for Serena to move on. She will face American Danielle Collins in the third round. Their only previous match came earlier this year in Australia, and Serena won that. We will pause briefly. Coming up, everything in the world riding on it. Are the Bears making the wrong decision by making Andy Dalton QB1? We'll answer that. Plus, the Coach K stunner. Reaction from one of his former stars, Jay Will, on his legendary coach. And more in our studio next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, let's run the floor through last night's NBA action in a bizarre series where no home team has won a game. So far, the Mavs beat the Clippers 105-100 in L.A. behind Luka Doncic, who was spectacular, 42 points, 14 assists. Dallas up 3-2. Elsewhere, Utah, Donovan Mitchell had 30, leading the Jazz to a Game 5 series clincher over the Grizzlies, 126-110. Jazz now await the winner of that series between the Clips and the Mavs. No Joel Embiid, no problem last night for the Sixers. They close out their series against Washington, 129-112. Seth Curry did have a playoff high 30. Ben Simmons had a triple-double. To put that away, the Sixers will play Atlanta in the next round. Last night, Trae Young took a bow at Madison Square Garden as the Hawks eliminated the Knicks. Young had 36 points, including 18 in the decisive fourth quarter. And so Trae Young with the bow to the MSG fans at the finish. And here's Jay Williams, KJZ, every day on ESPN Radio. Appropriately attired. We'll get to that. But let's start with him. As we watch Trae Young here, what did this series do for him? Are we watching the beginning of the NBA's next Steph Curry?
Funny that you say that. 2017, I was calling a game of his in college. In the first half, he had 21 points. And I said, hey, I'm not saying he is, but this is another iteration of Stephen Curry. His whole game is built off guys like Steph, guys like Steve Nash, with the way they play the game. And this is who Trae Young has always been. We just got a chance to see him on a national stage. One of the most prolific shooters there is in the game of basketball. And the way he can score, I mean, he could take over games in a heartbeat. He proved it throughout this entire series against the Knicks.
And what about what he showed? You know, again, as a lifelong fan of the Knicks, there was something painful about it for me. But his not only willingness, but his desire to go in there and be the villain at Madison Square Garden, be the villain on that stage, I think tells you something about his personality and his makeup.
Trey is an entertainer. Like, you know, when you want to go to, I'll tell you, Stephen Curry's the best ticket in basketball. But if you want to go see another great game, that's a ticket that I would go down and I would see him play. Like, I don't say that, Greeny. Like, I would go to Brooklyn, I would see Kyrie, I would see KD, I would probably see Russ, I would see Bradley Beal. But if I go to Atlanta, I'm going to a game to see Trae Young and his impact on the game of basketball.
He put on a show, no question. All right, we'll see. He goes on to the next round. Meanwhile, can the Lakers go on to the next round? Look at the crystal ball. You got that? Let's use the basketball as a crystal ball. Lakers, Suns, critical game six tonight. Who wins?
I have the Lakers winner. And I'll say this, and I know multiple people said this yesterday, but I need LeBron James to not make the right plays. And I know people at home, what do you mean by that, Jay? He always makes the right play. LeBron James needs to be uber aggressive tonight, Greeny. Like, LeBron James needs to come out and have 25-plus shots. He needs to get 10-plus assists. He needs to be aggressive in all facets and manner. And also, Dennis Schroeder, I know he turned down that extension for $80-plus million. You can't have a donut tonight. You can't have a donut tonight. Not tonight. And AD, I'm not going to be one of these guys sit up here and call AD soft. I hate people that do that. He's playing through injury, but you hope that your player, if he's able to go, will be on the court and go. And last thing I will say, why isn't Montrezl Harrell playing? He averages 23 minutes throughout the course of the regular season. He's only been averaging 10 in these playoffs against the Phoenix Suns. He needs to be on the court. He needs to be the aggressive Montrezl Harrell we saw with the Clippers. And he could be the one factor that can actually negate DeAndre Ayton down low and gives him versatility on the wing to switch when they're involved in pick and rolls.
Yeah, sixth man of the year a year ago and sort of a no-show here. Okay. And
well, he has finally to play in order to be a show-up.
Of course. We would be remiss if we did not ask you about the jacket and the man who made it famous. Mike Krzyzewski has had a lot of great players at Duke. You were one of the all-time greats, and I know how much he means to you. So with this news yesterday, just give you the floor. What should we say today about this legend behind us?
I just have nothing but appreciation. I mean, look, all the accolades speak for themselves, right? The five national championships, the winningest coach of all time, the countless Final Fours, the countless ACC tournament and regular season championships. But this guy changes lives. And I know we say that about coaches, but the culture that he's been able to build there is so important. And here's why I think John Shire is the answer. Since the first day I met John Shire, I've always called him a young Brad Stevens, right? Because he's able to think the game. He's a basketball savant. But what this does is, and you don't think John Calipari does this, when John wants to recruit a kid, he's like, okay, well, follow Devin Booker. Ask Devin Booker about me. Follow Anthony Davis on social media. Ask AD about me. Ask John Wall about what we build here. Now John Shire, who we talked yesterday, has that same feeling. Okay, call Jason Tatum. Ask Jason Tatum about me. Call Jabari Parker. Ask Zion Williamson about me. Ask Kyrie Irving about what kind of culture we built here. And that lineage, even though he's, 33 years old,
yeah,
I think really sets up for the future where Duke needs to go.
All right, again, this is the man who made Duke basketball what it is today. One more season, and then Coach K calling it quits. Jay Will back across the hall. KJZ, weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Greeny.
And I should mention, Coach K will be talking about his retirement for the first time this morning, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. First Take will carry that press conference live, so you'll be able to watch it right here on ESPN. And speaking of things you can see here, Friday night, we've got Game 6, Mavs, Clips. LA on the brink of elimination. Will the home team finally win a game in the series? Tip-off 9 p.m. Eastern time Friday night right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears have a crowded quarterback room. Nick Foles is the past, Andy Dalton is the present, Justin Fields is the future. Head coach Matt Nagy talked about all of them yesterday. Here's what he said.
I've talked to all three of them, and as we go into these practices, as we go into training camps, knowing how valuable it is for Justin to get his reps, you know, and then Andy obviously to get his reps too. Nick and I have talked, and he understands that going into this, that Justin's going to get the two reps and that Nick's going to get the three reps.
All right, so that's interesting, and we'll see how long Nick is there. But Kimberly, it's an interesting dynamic here, the way that the pressure factors into all of this. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, what Nagy said is not surprising. We expected Justin Fields to be the number two and Dalton to start. But outside, to me, outside of L.A., with Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, there's a ton of pressure within Chicago on multiple levels. You have Andy Dalton saying, I fully expected that they could have taken a quarterback, which they did. This doesn't change my approach. That's all well and fine. Andy Dalton knows he's on borrowed time. Now, if Andy Dalton struggles early, you know, you look at the way that schedule sets up early on, it is a tough schedule the Bears have. So if he struggles, is the front office feeling the pressure to start Justin Fields maybe earlier than they should? Are they pressured to start him, wait until the bye and see what Dalton does? And then is Justin Fields ready when he does get on the field? You know, I just think you've got a front office that clearly is about preserving their job security and also trying to develop a young kid. Sometimes those two just do not go hand in hand.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's the concern that you have if you're a fan of that team. Jeff, what do you see?
Yeah, there's no preservation. This is a saving job for the jobs of Nagy and Pace. They understand. But here's my thing. You know, Justin Fields, you go up to get him at 11. He is your answer, right? Like, this has to be the guy. You kind of put your career on it now. When you see what happened with Trubisky, he's now gone. You bring Fields in. You have to show the organization you're trending in the right direction. I don't think Andy Dalton does that to you. Listen, he was in Dallas with a very good offense, and it's kind of just mediocre, right? He's, what, 14 touchdowns, mm-hmm. 8 interceptions, kind of the way his career has gone. Will he be more stable early on than Justin Fields? Probably. But does he bring the excitement and the ability to really advance that Matt Nagy offense like, you know, you like Justin Fields? No way. So I'm going with Justin Fields. We're going to ride through the tough times together, but ultimately try to show the organization and our fan base, hey, we're trending in the right direction with Justin Fields. He's going to be our franchise guy. He's the player that makes the difference for us.
He's riding Justin Fields. Who are you riding?
I'm going with Justin Fields, too. I mean, that's why they moved up to draft him. I mean, he's going to be the guy that saves Matt Nagy's job. I mean, if Justin Fields doesn't start the majority of the games this upcoming season, then you're probably talking about Ryan Pace, their general manager, and Matt Nagy looking for another job in the 2022 offseason. So, to me, Andy Dalton is one of those guys that can do a good job when everything around him is ideal. You saw that last year in Dallas. But that's not going to be the case with the Chicago Bears. Their offensive line is shaky,
that's
and
right.
their skill position players leave something to be desired. You need a quarterback that can be dynamic, somebody that can offer you the opportunity for off-schedule plays, second reaction plays, being able to get more explosion in your offense. To me, that's Justin Fields. That's not Nick Foles. That's not Andy Dalton. Matt Nagy needs to stop playing himself. They've got to get Justin Fields ready to go. If he's not ready right now, you
that's
make
right.
sure that you get him ready to go by week one. You build an offense around what the kid does well.
All right, we'll see how quickly they are willing to make that change. Meanwhile, let's talk about another superstar quarterback as we continue, and that's Patrick Mahomes, trying to get to 3 straight Super Bowls. Which team in his conference is set to be his biggest problem? We'll answer that question, and then roll time. Which Alabama quarterback will have the best career in the NFL? RC asked the question. We'll answer it next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and we currently have the Cleveland Browns with plus 1,600 odds to win the championship this year, according to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. They'll open their season at the Chiefs, who so far this offseason have had a much higher attendance at their OTAs than the Browns have. So yesterday, Myles Garrett of Cleveland was asked if that concerns him, and here's what he said.
Not at all. I'm glad they have attendance, but and just because they're getting work at their facility doesn't mean we're not working just because we're away. Now, when we get to game one, we'll see who has been gelling better and who's got the upper hand.
Well, there are many people who have suggested the Browns are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Let's find out what our crew thinks. Jeff Saturday, which team do you think is the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC?
I'm going to go the Browns. And listen, what Myles Garrett is saying is true, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And he believes this team is poised to make a step. I would say it all hinges on Baker Mayfield, right? Odell Beckham Jr. is coming back. Will his health really matter for Mayfield? They can run the ball with Chubb and Hunt. They have a good offensive line. Obviously, with Garrett and Clowney now on the edges, what will that do for this defense? It will get better. I think they are poised to take a step towards the Chiefs. Can they unseat them? Not sure, but I think I had the best opportunity at this point.
Kimberly, who do you think is the biggest threat to KC?
So now I know Jeff Saturday is somebody who just likes new shiny toys. The Browns are the in thing right now, so he's going to pick the Browns. Okay, I get it. I love the upgrades the Browns have made, but I'm going to go with Buffalo. Hello, have we just forgotten about the Buffalo Bills? Can Buffalo get some love? Can Josh Allen get some love? Look, we've seen Buffalo take steps each year. We've seen Josh Allen do a complete 180. This kid has been lights out with him and Stephon Diggs, that chemistry, adding Emmanuel Sanders. Like, we've seen Buffalo take steps. The Browns, they're in the infancy stages of turning it around. We need to see the Browns actually come back under Kevin Stefanski and do it again. So to me right now, Buffalo is still the team that's going to give the Chiefs the toughest matchup.
Right, Browns and Bills, two teams that Kansas City had to play in the playoffs a year ago. Chris Canty, where are you looking?
Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns, and I hear everything that Kimberly is talking about, but I also remember seeing the Chiefs blast the Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game. So I can't unsee that. I also remember the week prior, the Cleveland Browns playing the Chiefs to a one-possession game
playing
that came down
there,
to a fourth-down conversion in the final minute of that ball game. So if you're asking me who the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC is, it's clearly the Cleveland Browns. I think they have, the quarterback aside, the best roster in the conference, and they're just a smidge below the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for having the best roster in the NFL. That's how good the Cleveland Browns are.
Why does it say depending on Julio Jones underneath your pick?
Well, it says that because if Julio Jones goes to the Tennessee Titans or the Baltimore Ravens, I think that could change the landscape of the conference.
Chris.
But because Julio Jones is a baller. But the Cleveland Browns,
Chris.
Listen, it's all hinging on Baker Mayfield taking that next step as a quarterback.
What, are we okay with this? Canty is hedging his pick. I don't know if I'm all right with that.
No,
come on,
not
G,
okay.
Come on.
What? He has no faith in – no, that's not real faith in Cleveland. Boo this man. Boo this man.
And you know, I've said many times that mine is that rare genius that won't be fully appreciated till long after my time. I think everyone is overlooking a team in their own division. I think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be the sneaky best team in the AFC this year. The Chargers last year lost 7 of their 9 games by 1 score. They were like 9 plays away from having the best record in the NFL, and they may have the best young quarterback in the NFL. And they had a spectacular draft in which they completely remade a questionable offensive line in front of Justin Herbert. And they have Nick Bosa and a bunch of other studs on that defense. The Chargers were so much closer to being an excellent football team last year than anyone gives them credit for. That to me is the team to watch. Mm-hmm. Before the Chiefs can worry about the Browns or the Bills, they got to get out of their own division. That said, there's one other thing involving Myles Garrett from yesterday that I wanted to share, because we've all seen this great video of him playing basketball, right? Dunking on a bunch of guys, and they don't look like they should be necessarily. Look at that guy's face. He's trying to guard Myles Garrett. But so they asked the coach yesterday about Myles Garrett's basketball career, and here's what he said.
He retired. So congratulations on a great career for Myles. Really proud of him. But he's done.
Did you have to have that talk with him, Kevin?
He's retired. I feel like it's more of like a Jordan retirement. know, I went to baseball for a second, slash I went to basketball for a second. And I got to go back to what I'm good at, what I usually do, playing football. The next season, you never know. You know, I might go back to basketball. I might go play baseball.
Let me turn to my 6'8" friend here, if I can, Chris Canty. What do you think of that? The coach says he's retired from basketball. Your reaction?
The coach is telling Myles Garrett, you like cashing these checks that the Cleveland Browns are issuing you. You need to put that basketball down and not risk getting injured because you're too important to our football team. That's what it comes down to. Like, don't risk what we got going on in Cleveland. Don't risk our outlook for the 2021 season because you want to go out there and live out your hoop dreams. We ain't having that in Cleveland. I like Kevin Stefanski laying down the gauntlet to Myles Garrett.
Jeff Saturday, what's he worried about?
You. He's worried about greenies. Some guy tripping and falling into Myles Garrett. Like, look at the guy in the orange. What if he falls? He looks like he's about to fall down. Ooh, what if his headband goes and wipes out Garrett from the back, injures him? I mean, their season is crushed and devastated all because some unathletic guy who's at the fitness gym with them
some
hurts
greenie.
Him. Like, you cannot risk this. And let me tell you, every other player on that team is with Stefanski. Hey, man, we don't need you out there doing that. We need you on this field helping us win games. All of our checks are dependent on you. Don't risk it for the guy in the headband, man. Good gracious. Everybody panicked when they saw that.
Kimberly, I feel like he's suggesting that the biggest threat that I could pose to Myles Garrett on a basketball court is to trip and fall in front of him and have him get injured falling over.
That's
me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Greeny. I mean, you're not going to be able to body him. You're not going to be able to box him out. So, just.
I can't argue. Okay.
We love you, but.
Ryan Clark had a really good tweet yesterday. And I saw it, and I thought, let's react to this. It's interesting. RC tweeted, of the three young former Alabama QBs, which one are you taking? If you had to make a decision today on your guy, is it Tua, Hurts, or Jones, who has the best career? And I thought that was pretty interesting. So I thought, let's throw it around the room and see what we think. Kimberly Martin, which one do you think is going to have the best NFL career?
Greeny, to me, it's Mac Jones. And here's why. Out of the three guys, I know he's on firm footing. I know the Patriots believe in him. I know that Bill Belichick sees a mirror image of himself. You see the way they walk together. Tua, to me, and Jalen, like, I think Tua is the guy in Miami right now, but there's a feeling like he still is under a lot of pressure. This is a make or break year for Tua. Not really sold on I don't think Philly's sold on Jalen. So to me, Mac Jones, there's the least amount of pressure on him because he knows he's on firm footing.
Chris Canty.
I'm going with Tua Tagovailoa, and I know that the Miami Dolphins have been rumored to want to trade for a quarterback this offseason, but I still believe in the talent. To me, if you go back to when these guys were coming out of college, there's no question before the injury that Tua was the more talented of the trio. So to me, I'm going to bet on talent. I'm going to bet on the infrastructure that Brian Flores and Chris Greer down in Miami are putting around him. I feel like this team is in a really good spot. I would bet on future Tua having the best future out of the three.
Of the three, he was drafted the highest. Jeff, how about you?
I'm going to go Mac Jones, and pretty similar to Kimmy, and it sounds terrible, but he's the only one I haven't seen play in the league, so I have the most hope for right now, right? I mean, Tua with the injuries, with Jalen with what they are in Philly. I'm like, listen, you've seen what New England can do with a QB. Maybe they pull this off with Mac Jones and Bill Belichick, and they decide Josh McDaniels are going to put this thing together and give him a real run at it. But at this point, when Tua tells me, I didn't really study the playbook that hard, I'm really going to get interested now, that's scary for me. At least we know Mac Jones is already in. They're already talking about his interest level in football. I appreciate that, starting in as a quarterback.
All right, and I'm going to throw my money on Jalen Hurts because there's just something magic about him. There's just something about him I like. I like the makeup. I like the moxie. And I think that team is going to get good much faster than most people recognize. Once again, I am looking into the future and seeing things no one else is. The overwhelming
rare genius,
of the time,
yeah.
That optimism ain't we'll best see. On the press conference from the new head coach.
I'm going on Jalen Hurts. Meanwhile, we got the Women's College World Series starting today in Oklahoma City for the 30th year. We got the first two games on ESPN and the app at noon Eastern. James Madison against number one seed Oklahoma. Then it's Georgia taking on Oklahoma State. Meanwhile, I wanted you to see this scary moment in the NHL. Canadiens and Jets, round two, game one. 1 minute to play in the third. Montreal leading 4-3. The Jets an empty net. Jake Evans is going to chase this down for what should be just an easy wraparound Oh, my goodness, empty netter, but it's Mark Scheifele who comes flying in and lays the huge hit on Evans, who is down and not moving, and there was a scuffle. And as you take another look, you're going to see Evans has no idea, boom, that that is coming as he just gets taken out. Canadiens' Joel Edmondson had strong words after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dirty hit, but the league's going to take care of it. And, you know, if he gets back in the series, we're going to make his life miserable. But, you know, I think the league's going to do a good job with that.
Well, Jets coach Paul Maurice responded by saying the players will sort things out on the ice. No one would ever be stupid enough to say anything premeditated going into the next game. That game, by the way, game two, Canadiens and Jets, is tomorrow night. Coming up, can LeBron save the Lakers' season? We'll tell you exactly what he must do tonight to force a game seven. That's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.